Get your Bible, your iPhone, your iPad, your Galaxy, Android, or your paper Bible. I hope you're near somebody who has a paper Bible. If not, the scripture will be on the screen for you heathens who didn't bring your Bibles. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Minister Chambers already read it so powerfully today. Thank her for leading us in our worship today. Thank the Lord for the united voices here, strong and full force. God bless you. I want to talk about overcoming temptation. Yeah, overcoming temptation. I know y'all acting like y'all ain't got no temptation. But everybody in here is tempted by something. Everybody gets something that we're tempted by. Everybody has something that when it calls for your, when it calls your name, it gets your attention. When it says Yoo-hoo, you look in that direction. Everybody got something like that in their life. And I wanted to talk about it today because it is impossible for you and I to reach the destiny that God has for us if we're not able to learn how to overcome temptations. You don't learn how to do it, the devil will defeat you every time. Matter of fact, some of you have not reached your destiny because you haven't learned how to overcome temptation. Sin will always take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and impact you greater than any way that you thought sin would ever impact you. And yet you can see other people make the same mistakes and make the same error and suffer the same consequences, and yet somehow you're not smart enough not to walk down that same road. Go ahead, Pastor. You preaching and teaching. I'm doing the best I can. So I wanted to talk about it because the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, he writes this letter to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth really could be called the First Baptist Church of Corinth. It's a lot like our church. Because we got a little bit of everything up in here. Yeah, there's some sinners on your row. Look up and down and you see them. They're there. You want to know what a sinner looks like? Look at the person sitting right next to you. That's what a sinner looks like. You want to know somebody who's out of control? Look two or three rows down from you. There's somebody who's out of control. You want to see somebody who is actually jacked up? Take a mirror out and look right at yourself right there. And Paul is talking to the church in Corinth because they got everything going on. And he's talking to them about overcoming temptation. And in order to talk to them about it, he reaches into the past and pulls out the story of the children of Israel. And he talks and expresses about them. And here's what he says. Turn to, are you in 1 Corinthians 10? Are y'all there? Let me start at verse number 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink." Stick a pin right there. Because he starts off in a most profound way in this 10th chapter. Because he says, in essence, all of the people who left Egypt were under the same cloud. What does that mean? He says this: the children of Israel were led by Moses, and God led them by day by a pillar of cloud. So they get up in the morning, and if they saw the cloud, they would follow the cloud. When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stopped moving, they stopped. If God wanted them to move at night, they'd get up in the middle of the night and there would be a pillar of fire that would lead them by night. They'd follow the pillar of fire in the day and at night, and when the fire stopped, they would stop. When the fire moved, they would move. They were all under the cloud of, under the pillar of the cloud and under the pillar of the fire. They all was under the same leadership of Moses. And that's what he's saying. They were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea and they all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They followed Moses' leadership. Verse 3, they all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. They were listening to the same messages from Moses. Moses was their pastor. And Moses was a great pastor, by the way. Y'all know I'm coming back to that point in a few minutes. And God used him to lead them out of bondage. led them out of the bondage that they had. And this is a significant point. It is very important because they all had the same leadership. They heard the same messages. They heard the same teachings from Moses. They all drank the same spiritual drink. They all ate the same spiritual food. And then verse 5 says something profound. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. Boy, that's an amazing thing. They were all under the leadership of Moses. And God led them out of slavery, out of Egypt. They got to they were headed to the promised land. They got stuck up into the wilderness. And they got wandering around in the wilderness. Why? Because God was not pleased with them. They had the great teaching and the great ministry of Moses, but most of them, that's amazing to me that the passage says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. As a matter of fact, the text goes on and says right here, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. You know what that means? God had to cause them to die because he was not going to allow them to cross over into the promised land with the mentality and the sin that they had in their life. And you and I need to understand that, because you cannot get into the promised land of what God has promised for you to take you where you need to go while you're carrying the mentality and the sins that you have in your life. Some of you got to get this under your belt. You got to understand you'll never become what God wants you to become, and you'll never do what God wants you to do, and you'll never be what God wants you to be while you're dragging the trash of your sin. As a matter of fact, what the scripture teaches us is that God had to cause them, that generation, to die off. Out of all of the adults that left Egypt, only two of them crossed over into the promised land. Only two. All the rest of them died. It was their children and their grandchildren that crossed over into the promised land. I don't know about you. I want my children and my grandchildren to cross into the promised land. But hold up. But I want to cross over into the promised land too. Yeah, I want to get to every place that God has intended and planned for me. I want to get there. Slow down. This is a 12 o'clock service. I do not have to rush myself. I can take my time. So Moses, Joshua, Paul. Y'all don't understand what it's like to preach multiple times in a day. You forget about what you said and what you didn't say. But with most of them, God was not pleased. In verse 6 and 7, listen now. These things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after the evil things as they also lusted. Let me tell you what's happening here. Moses, Paul. Paul is seeking to teach them a lesson through the example of the children of Israel. And they had five sins that they could not overcome. Five sins that they couldn't overcome. And these five sins are the same things that the children in Corinth are having problems with. And guess what? They're the same five things that you have problems with. You got a problem with one of these five things. Look at your neighbor and say, I probably got a problem with all five of these things. Here's the first one, is in verse 6. Let me read it again. Now, these things became our example. Paul says, what happened to the children of Israel is our example, that we don't make the same mistakes. Here's that mistake. Here's number one. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. They had the first problem of lust. They lusted. Somebody say they lusted. They had a lust issue. Lusting. They were lusting, craving. That word lust means to crave. It means to want something so bad that you'll do almost anything to get it. You want it so bad that you'll lie, you'll kill, you'll steal, you'll hurt other people, you'll ruin people's reputation, you'll do whatever it takes to get it. And not only did they lust, but they lusted after evil things. These people were lusting, and the problem is, write this down. I don't have time to go through it, but you can read it when you get an opportunity. In Numbers 11, for those who are taking notes, Numbers chapter 11 tells the story of how they lusted after stuff. Listen, here's what happened. When they left Egypt, God freed them out of Egypt. And here they are traveling, trying to get to the promised land, and they got stuck in the wilderness. But yet every day God fed them supernaturally with manna. They'd wake up in the morning, and when they reached out there inside their tent, there was food. What kind of food was it? It was manna. They had never seen manna before. Matter of fact, they named the food manna. Manna means, what is this? But they reach outside their tents and they grab it and they could cook it and bake it and eat it. And that's how they were fed, supernaturally from God. God, there was no giant food. There was no BJ's. There was no Shopper Food Warehouse. Where else y'all be going? There's no Food Line. Wegmans. There was no Wegmans. Giant King. Keiko's. Costco's. Whatever. There wasn't nothing. There was nothing for them there to go and get. And so God supernaturally provided for them. But guess what? They got tired of the manna from God. It is a dangerous nation that gets tired of the supernatural provisions that God's given you every day. Y'all might not want to admit it, but God is taking care of you supernaturally. And you're getting tired of the supernatural things God's doing for you. God's feeding you. You ain't got no job. God's taking care of you. Ain't no money coming in the house. And you getting tired of it. You better learn to be thankful for whatever provisions God has made for you. If you get a chance to read number 11, if you go back and read chapter 11 of Numbers, they wanted the fish and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They wanted all of the food they had when they were in Egypt enslaved. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to slavery. Let me tell you something. I'd rather have manna and be free than have the best delicacies of life and be enslaved. When he talks about them wanting to go back to Egypt, it means that they wanted to go back to slavery. They wanted to go back to the thing that God delivered them from. The problem is, some of you are lusting after the things that God has brought you up out of. You want to go back to the drugs. You want to go back to that Negro that treated you bad. You want to go back to that sister that treated you like a dog. You want to go back to that. When God brought you out, you better learn to be thankful for where God brought you out of. I'm preaching better than y'all are saying amen. They lusted it. They wanted it badly. My assignment is to tell you, you're lusting after your past. And you lusting after things you should not lust after will keep you from becoming everything that God wants you to become. That's not the only problem they had. That was the first one. There's a second one written right here in verse 7. Paul says to them in verse 7, and do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and to rose up to play. Somebody say, idolaters. Jot down Exodus chapter 32. If you get a chance to read Exodus 32, you will see where they bowed down to idols. And what were those idols? You know what they did? They gathered their gold. They took their gold and they melted their gold and they formed a golden calf. And they danced to that calf and they bowed down to that calf and they ran around that calf and they prayed to that calf and they worshiped that calf. Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, don't become idol worshipers. Now, y'all might not realize it, but we have some idols that we worship in our day and time. You see, the idol is that which controls your money, how you spend your money, where you spend your money. The idol controls your schedule. The idol controls what you will commit to. We've got idols today of the same thing they had. They had idols of gold and silver, wood and metals. They had the gold and silver idols. We have it. It's called jewelry. Look at your neighbor and say, you know, you got some jewelry that you worship. They got idols of wood. It's called your home. They had idols of metals. It's your vehicle. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about your car. Here's what we do with our idols. We wash our idols, drive our idols. We wear our idols. We listen to our idols. We watch our idols dance. We go to our idols' worship services, concerts. We watch our idols' videotapes. We imitate our idols. Is it not a problem that you know the third, all the words to the third, you know the third song on Beyonce's latest unadvertised release? You know the exact third song and all the words, but you don't know where the book of Hezekiah is in the Bible. And you don't even know that there is no book of Hezekiah in the Bible. There ain't no book called Hezekiah. You know all of Beyonce's songs, but you, words of her song, but you don't know a single verse. If I ask you to quote a verse, you don't know a single verse. That's idol worship. Yes, when she has her concert coming to town, you will rearrange your whole schedule. But you ain't been to one communion service since you joined the First Baptist Church. I'm just trying to tell you, you don't have to believe nothing I'm telling you, but I'm challenging you here today. It's my responsibility to challenge you that we got these idol worship. Somebody tell your neighbor, stop bowing down to idols. Here's number three. I'm almost finished. I won't keep you long. I know I only got you for a short period of time. You know what verse 7 says? I got to say this too. It says in verse 7, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That tells me that what the idol of their day was, and it's the idol still today, is self-gratification. Really, all life is about satisfying you. At some point, God has to make you and I understand that life is not about you. It's not about what satisfies you. And yet, that's all they did. They ate and drank and rose up to play. There was no time in their schedule to serve others. Well, y'all got quiet on that one. I must have hit something right there. But that's the problem. The problem is it's all about you. It's all about your schedule. And it's an idol. You your own idol. You worshiping yourself. Here's number three. Y'all didn't say amen on that one. Let me see if you say amen on this one. Verse number 8 says, Let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. I want you to see beginning at verse 8 and this third issue, this third temptation that they couldn't yield, they couldn't resist, that there are consequences that go with it. And with sexual immorality, people start dying. And there are consequences that start going with it. And the sin that they had was sexual immorality. People were having sex outside of marriage and all kinds of crazy stuff, sex and behavior. People were shacking and living together, sex outside of marriage. Amen. Are y'all with me? Have I lost y'all? Y'all got so quiet on me right there. I thought I had lost y'all. I thought I was just preaching to myself. It's a problem. Because in our culture, we have become numb to sexual immorality. As a matter of fact, it's expected that after you done dated somebody 3 or 4 weeks or less, something's supposed to go down. It's a problem. It's a problem in our culture. It was a problem in that day, and it's still a problem today. Sexual immorality is a sin. You need to understand shacking is a sin. Having sex outside of marriage is a sin. I know you don't hear it much. A lot of people don't talk about it. People don't preach against it. People don't tell you that it's wrong. But make sure you've heard from this pulpit, from this servant of God, that I'm telling you that it's wrong. It's wrong. It's sin. Pornography is wrong. It's a sin.
It's a sin. It's a problem. It's a sin. It's a problem. And he says it's such a serious matter that verse number 8 says 23,000 people died in one day with the children of Israel. 23,000 people. Matter of fact, the total number of people who died when it happened is 24,000. Somebody say 24,000. Write down Numbers 25. You get an opportunity to read the story in Numbers 25. You'll see 24,000 people died and 23,000 of them died in one day because they had become so loose with their sexual behavior. And we don't like to talk about it because people don't want to own up to it and accept it. Y'all want everything to be okay, but I got to tell you that it's wrong. I'm amazed and shocked. Not just at the premarital sex. I'm talking about, because y'all know sex before marriage is wrong. And sex after marriage is wrong also, if it's not with the person that you're married to. Oh, y'all got so quiet on that point right there. I shouldn't be laughing because the number of adulterous relationships that goes on in the church is ridiculous. It is. I know the young ladies say, well, Pastor, if I don't give it up, he's going to roll on to somebody else. Let him roll on to somebody else, baby. You don't want a dog for a husband. You want a man for a husband. A dog will hump on anything. The dog will hump on the curtains. The dog will hump on the couch. Y'all can't handle the, you can't handle the truth up in here. But you want a man who's got some respect, who treats you like a queen that you are. That's what you want, a man, a man, a man. And brothers, what you want is a woman, not a whore. That's what you want, is a woman. Not a hoe. Don't write me no email, don't send me no letters. A charge I have to keep and a God to glorify. And I'm trying to tell you, live holy, live holy, live holy. Young ladies, have respect for who you are. You are a queen, a woman of God. Don't give yourself up like that. Don't go down like that. You know what my wife and I told our daughter last night? We told my youngest daughter last night, Sarah, Natalie. She's in school. Said, Natalie, keep on living a pure life. She's the most wholesome of all of our kids. Jimmy saying, what about him? No, Jimmy, you are not. You were the worst of all of our kids. Natalie is the most wholesome of all. And we said to Natalie, Natalie, don't worry about these young men who don't want to respect you. Let them go. Because they'll hang out with the women that'll give it up. But when they get ready to get married, they're going to come back to you. Can I get an amen right there? I'm trying to tell the ladies, raise the bar. And another thing. And while I'm on this point, I'm just trying to figure out how to say this so I won't offend nobody. A lot of the ladies say, Pastor, these men don't want to get married. That's true, they don't want to get married. Let me be honest with y'all. There's a lot of things that made me marry my wife. A lot of reasons why I wanted to marry her. One of which is I didn't want to burn. That's a scripture in case you don't know it. The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. Yeah, and the brothers don't want to get married because they can get the milk for free. Oh, y'all was cheering me on. Tell us, Pastor, tell us. I'm telling you, they don't have to get married because the women are giving it up like nothing. And I'm trying to raise the standard to tell you women, rise up and be a woman of God. And if they don't want you, let them go. I'm trying to help you understand what will keep you from reaching your destiny. Sexual immorality will keep you from becoming everything God wants you to become. I feel I need to bind a masturbation spirit from up in here too. Okay, I better roll on. I'm getting a little bit too loose right here. I need to roll on. So that's number three. Here's number four. I better roll on. I better get out of here. I feel something getting out of control right here. Number nine. Here's verse nine. Here's the fourth one. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. There's the fourth thing, is tempting Christ. Read Numbers chapter 21 when you get an opportunity. What is tempting Christ? Tempting Christ means to question God's direction for your life. Ultimately, the devil will try to bring you to a place where you question why and where God has brought you in your life. And ultimately, when you question what God has done for you, you're tempting God. That's what that means. What you, in essence, are questioning is the sovereignty of God. And what everybody needs to understand is that the God we serve is a sovereign God. He controls life. He controls you. He will never allow more to happen in your life than you have the capacity to handle. And although he may not and is not the author, even though he is not the author, he permits what he knows you can handle. And if you can't handle, he'll hold it back. Can I get an amen right there from somebody? So when you start questioning God's sovereignty, that's a very serious thing. God does not want us, and the Bible warns us about tempting Christ by questioning God's plan and purposes for your life. The devil will have you questioning God's purpose and God's plan for your life. Do never question God's plan. Pastor, how can you be so sure this is true? Because Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who are the called according to his purpose. Ultimately, the devil wants you to question God. Matter of fact, not only did these Israelites question God, they questioned the leadership that God put them under. They questioned Pastor Moses. They questioned his leadership. They questioned where they were going. They began to criticize him. But the Bible was clear that God talked to Moses. God talked to Moses. When you read through the book of Numbers, I think you go through the first 12 or 13 chapters, the first few words of every chapter says, and the Lord spake to Moses, and the Lord spake to Moses, and the Lord spake to Moses. Y'all be clear, God does not run the church through committee. He raises up a leader, and he runs the church through that leader. That's God's way of doing it. And they questioned him because they were going through some paths that they didn't understand. They didn't know why they were going through the journey. And some things will happen in your life that you don't understand. And God will take you through some places that you don't know why you're there. But you will get an understanding of it in the by and by. Sooner or later, God will give you an understanding. It may not be apparent now while you're going through it. But sooner or later, I told the Bible study this the other night, he'll give you a crown on your head. He'll give you a beauty for your ashes. He'll give you an understanding of what you've had to go through, but never question God and his sovereignty in your life, and don't question his pastor. Come on and high five your neighbor and say, don't question Pastor Moses. Come on, ministers, y'all supposed to be doing a high five like I just said. No, I didn't see it. I need to see y'all say amen. All right. I'm going to have to fire some people up in here, I think. Here's number five. I'm almost finished. Listen to this. Here's number five. Did y'all get number one? What was it? Number two? Number three? Number four? Here's number five. It's in verse 10. Nor complain. Has some of them also did complain and were destroyed by the destroyer. God, Moses, they complained about Moses. Numbers 14, jot it down. Jot down Numbers 14. Read when you get an opportunity. They were finding fault with everything. They found fault with the direction they were going in. They complained about the people who died. They complained about the water. They complained about the food. They got tired of the manna. They questioned even who Moses was married to. They had questions about everything. And I don't know about you, but if you keep on living, you'll come across somebody who can find fault with everything. And complain about everything. Complaining is not a spiritual gift. We got people who complain about everything here. Ain't enough. We can't get our kids into the Sunday school class. Well, if we had more teachers, maybe we could. They complain about the traffic. Traffic. Take us 45 minutes to get in and 45 minutes to get out. But you ain't complaining about the Redskins game. You go sit in 2 hours of the Redskins game. 2 or 3 hours to get in, 2 or 3 hours to get out. You don't complain about them. You go to the game and they lose. I mean, I'm talking about they ain't even going to win. At least when you come in here, you coming into a winning camp. We winning up in here. Somebody say, we winning up in here. And you know why there's so much traffic? You know why there's so many people here? You know why you got to deal with so many seeds and so many kids? Because it means that people's lives are being impacted and changed. That's why so many people here. That's why so much stuff. Stop complaining and do something about the stuff that we got issues with. Stop complaining. Let me close with this. I'm talking about these temptations that they could not overcome, that kept them from the promised land. But God wants you to overcome these things. And you say, well, Pastor, I see myself in some of these. How do I overcome? I'm glad you asked the question, because right here, it tells us what the answer is right here. Can I read verse 11, 12, and 13? Thank you. Verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. It's written for us so that we might learn what to do and what not to do. That's verse 11. Verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. How do you overcome temptation? First of all, recognize you ain't being tempted no greater than nobody else. Everybody's being tempted by something. Everybody has something that gets their attention and pulls them out. So we are being tempted. We all have some kind of temptation. But here's what I like. But God. Here it is, right? Verse 3. But God is faithful. That's a shouting point. God is faithful. Somebody holler back. Say, God is faithful. I'm coming in for a close. I'm bringing my plane in for a landing. But you got to get this right here, that you can't depend on anything else, but you can depend on this, that God is faithful. What is he faithful? He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. In other words, when God allows the temptation to come in your life, he will never allow more to come into your life that's greater than your capacity to deal with it. So if it came in your life, it means he knows he's already put enough inside of you to be able to deal with whatever is knocking at your door. He is faithful that he will not allow you to be tempted above your ability. And hold up, here's number two. Here's the second promise. Here's how we overcome. He says, but he will, with the temptation, will also make the way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Shout on this point right here, that when temptation walks in the house, standing right next to it is a way out of escape. Oh, I wish I could get a shout from somebody who understood that if he permits it, he promises that when the temptation comes, there's a way out. Listen, y'all don't get it. Let me give it back to you. Let me roll it back. Let me give it back to you again. You missed a place to shout and celebrate. That means when you get yourself in a situation where there they are, the drugs on the table. You came out of the drug life, and you know you shouldn't be around the drugs, but you find yourself in a situation where they're rolling the drugs out on the table, and there you're being tempted to go back with it. What you have to understand is even though you're in a tempting situation, God has promised you that even though you're in the midst of a temptation, there is also a door right over there for you to get up and walk out of. You ain't got to believe me, but you know it's true. God always makes a way of escape. There's a way out. Even before you make the hotel reservations. You can hang up the phone. You can disconnect from the internet. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. You don't have to put the credit card number in there to pay for it. You can get out of it. You have the time from the time you make the reservations till you get to the hotel. And even after you get in the hotel, the door does not disappear. Y'all can't handle the truth up in here. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but you got temptation coming this way this week. And my job is to tell you there is a way out. There is an escape. You can get out. Let me boil it down to you and tell you. Let me put it in simple terms. Don't do it. 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 Pastor, why are you doing that? Because when tomorrow comes, when Wednesday comes, when Friday night comes, when Saturday night comes, and there's temptation knocking at your door, I want you to hear my voice saying, don't do it! Don't do it! Don't go in there! Don't buy it! Don't take the pill! Don't do it! Go ahead, look at three or four people. Say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Tell them, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Leave it alone. Don't walk in there. Don't mess with it. Don't do it. Don't call it. Don't tweet it. Don't email it. Don't face page it. Facebook it, whatever it is. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's always a way out. I'm done. I'm finished. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we want to overcome temptations. And we're being tempted every day on all sides, all fronts. So many ways the enemy wants to keep us from reaching our destiny. I pray today, God, that you would make this truth of your word a revelation for us. Help us to see and understand that you've made a way out for us. That we don't have to fall into it. We don't have to succumb. We don't have to yield. I pray this in Jesus' name. Help this truth permeate our hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. Don't patty cake the Lord. Give the Lord a great big old shout if you don't mind. Hallelujah.